This is the Geek Improvement Podcast. Tune in. Geek out.
Welcome to the Geek Improvement Podcast, the official podcast of geekimprovement.com, helping you find and keep track of the things you geek out about. I'm Alexi Santos, and joining me is the always jolly Zach Erickson. How's it going, Zach?
I'm doing wonderful, and I'm feeling particularly jolly tonight. I don't know what it is, but there's a little bit of jolly in the air, I guess.
It's the approaching end of the school semester. I think that's it.
Yeah, jolly mixed with, like, deer in the headlights. Oh, crap, I have 14 things that are due in less than a week.
Oh, I know that feeling. Actually, I was rushing to get in some Thor action for our geek homework leading up to the release of The Avengers, I believe, on May 4th.
Yeah, it's, like a week and a half away, something like that?
Yeah, next
Crazy
Friday?
Close.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, it's funny because my wife and I are making kind of like a spur-of-the-moment, last-minute trip to Las Vegas for a family wedding, mm-hmm. And I was afraid that I wasn't going to be able to see it in IMAX, because there's no IMAX theater close to where I live, Ooh. But I think there are probably plenty of them in Las Vegas.
Oh, so. Yeah.
There's, so, yeah, that should be pretty awesome.
Yeah, I'll be up in University of Massachusetts Amherst, so we'll be recording again from a hotel room, but come hell or high water, I will watch The Avengers on release day.
Oh, yeah. Hopefully it'll be release day. I know for sure it'll be release week, or opening weekend for me. Yeah. So, anyway. But Thor is our geek homework. We're, what? This is the second to last one.
Next one would be Captain America.
Exactly. So for next week, we will be doing Captain America. And Thor, actually, you know, going into it, Thor is the one that is really the hardest sell out of all the Avengers. You know, you've got Iron Man.
Yeah.
You got a couple of assassins, right? Black Widow and Hawkeye. You've got the Hulk. You've got Captain America, all of which are just like your basic superheroes, right? Mm-hmm. But Thor is a Norse god. And so he's the hardest to really... at least going into the movie, he was the hardest sell.
Now,
so
it's
interesting going in. So anyway, I'll get your opinion on that.
Yeah, when I heard about Thor, now keep in mind, my geek expertise is not of the comic book kind. So I thought Thor. I mean, I had heard of him, but I thought, wait, Thor, alien. This is going to be weird. But after watching it, I totally buy it. It's essentially tapping into, you know, the whole kind of overblown by the History Channel and Discovery Channel ancient aliens theory, where Norse gods, they must have been aliens. That's the only explanation. So I'll for the movie I'll buy into it, and it works after being doubtful of it.
It's definitely like a really weird. I really, really like what they did with it. You know, going into it, like Kenneth Branagh is the director in this movie, who is really famous for his Shakespeare type movies and stuff like that. And while sometimes I have a problem with, especially some of the Earth, mostly the Earth scenes, mm-hmm. and how they're kind of trivial, you know, they just don't match the scale of the stuff in Asgard. The actors totally sell this movie for me.
Amen.
You know, like Thor and Loki, both of those actors are absolutely phenomenal in this movie.
And that another thing that links to the whole kind of small town thing is in video games and in movies. Well, specifically in video games, whenever I find out that, okay, I'm going to spend most of the video game in like a spaceship going back and forth from the beginning, trying to get like this, like for example, in Dead Space, trying to get this tram station set up. And then I have to do some backtracking, which is a lot in BioShock, you know, trying to get to this one place, but oh no, the pathway that you were gonna go through had a cave in, so you got to go the other way, and you know, just like being stuck in a small area. I like to see huge scope in games. I like adventure games a lot, and I guess I wanted to see that more in Thor. Yeah, sure, you got Asgard in this, but like you said, when you go to Earth, it's hey, small town out in the desert.
Yeah, and not only that, but it's clearly like this town that's like, okay, what is this town? Like, what is going on here?
Yeah,
the town even kind of looks phony. You know what I mean?
Oh, totally. And I some of the shots and the special effects, while they were mostly good, if you like really look at them, it's like, yeah, this town doesn't look all that realistic. Now,
yeah,
did you feel like the movie was rushed?
Absolutely. In fact, yeah. I have this movie on Blu-ray, and I went and watched all the deleted scenes. Mm-hmm. There are so many scenes in this movie that were cut out, all of which are character moments, most of which are in Asgard.
Yeah.
Like they develop, I would say, the first part of the movie before they go to Jotunheim, mm-hmm, and have the big frost giant battle at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
There's probably like a good 5 or 6 minutes of extra footage and dialogue and characterization and stuff like that. Oh. It is really, really good at setting up things.
And probably also making you feel more attached to like the dream team, Thor's dream
team.
Yeah,
exactly. You know, Jackie Chan and Robin Hood and Xena, Warrior Princess, right? Yeah. I love that, by the way. But yeah, it did feel a little bit rushed, but I have a little bit more appreciation for what they were trying to do in this movie. After watching it with the commentary, it's really interesting. I actually watched it with the commentary a while ago, and the director, he kind of talks about how he wasn't interested in getting too super deep. He wanted it to be the core of the movie he really held onto, which is that whole father son and brother relationship, sort of exploring that aspect of it. Uh-huh. And the whole redemption of Thor, and anything that wasn't involved in that, he said he just really wasn't all that interested in it.
Just
because it's not the central part of the story. And I totally agree with the fact that the thing that makes this movie so good is that sort of dynamic that Thor and Loki have.
Totally. Yeah.
One of my favorite scenes in the whole movie is the scene where right after Thor attempts to get the hammer and he fails, and Loki shows up to him, right? And Thor has this really touching scene where he's like totally torn apart because he thinks that he's like his father has died because of what he's done and all that sort of thing. It's really cool. And I think that scene really encapsulates the entire movie for me.
Yeah. I think also the director, by not focusing too much on the love interest, he pulled it off. I mean, it was there. It wasn't too integral. It didn't take away from the movie, and he pulled it off essentially.
Exactly. Now, I think it's, you know, kind of going into the Avengers. There was a lot of S.H.I.E.L.D. in this movie. Did you like the Hawkeye cameo, by the way?
Hawkeye.
Hey, there's the scene where he's trapped and he's looking, in combat, right? And he's the guy who's way up in the lift with the bow and arrow.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, right, that's Hawkeye. It's the only time you see him in the whole movie, but he's got a little, you know, a short little cameo there.
Yeah, and that's interesting, because when they show someone reaching for the gun, he, like, the camera pans down, he picks up the bow.
Right, and it's Jeremy Renner, who is actually the guy who's playing Hawkeye in the Avengers movie. So
nice.
It's a very short little cameo, but did you think this was something too, and we kind of touched on this with Iron Man 2, mm-hmm, but did you feel like S.H.I.E.L.D. was a little bit too forced into this movie? Shoehorned in a little bit?
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't expecting to see as much of it as I did. And
yeah, it kind of felt the same way.
But I mean, it was all right, but overall, I really liked the movie. Well, I really liked the first half of the movie. And then the second half is when it feels like they kind of rushed. It's like, okay, we spent all this time setting everything up, and the hard part's over. We're just going to go for the gold. And they kind of rushed it. I was expecting more of a character development down on Earth rather than Just, hey,
exactly. Yeah.
This little
and it's funny too, because,
town.
Yeah. And it feels too like, especially that scene. And he talks about it again in the commentary, but the thing where he is revived from the dead and, you know,
mm-hmm.
The whole fight with the destroyer right after that, where it's just like, oh, and now I'm crazy huge. Right. And like the fight is less than a minute long and he totally destroys the thing. Right. That felt really rushed to me, but other than that, I thought it was okay.
And I gotta say, I am glad that he wasn't revived by, well, the human the mortal girl kissed him and like, hey, you know, he was revived because of love or something,
that would have been a little bit too far.
Rolls down her cheek, but however, a single tear did roll down his father's cheek. So I guess they kind of traded it off for that.
Yeah, there you go.
No.
So anyways. Now, this to me, going into this, I really thought this would be, of all of the movies, because of your love of Lord of the Rings, I thought this would be the movie for you going in. Now, am I wrong in that aspect? Or
you are like 90% or 80% right. I mean, I love I really like the movie. However, like I said, the thing that makes me hesitate about saying I really, really loved it is that it felt rushed. The first half, fantastic. I think it's got a lot of potential for a good sequel. But it's something I enjoyed.
Yeah, for sure.
I took a lot of notes here. Well, actually, where does it rank on your list of favorite Marvel movies?
Honestly, you'll probably be surprised. And I need to watch Captain America again before I can say this for sure. But I am prepared to say that this one is my favorite of them all.
Wow.
I
can say that it's competing with Iron Man for me.
Yeah. I would say, and the reason is because it's just kind of like what I said before, is that it's a little bit more emotional. It's a little bit more human than the other ones, where it takes itself just a little bit more seriously while still having fun at the same time.
Yeah.
And it succeeds on both accounts.
Also, Anthony Hopkins as Odin, and it's Captain James T. Kirk as Thor.
Exactly, right? So
how can you resist?
Yeah, it's so good. And I need to go back and watch it again, I'll be able to say for sure next week after we've watched Captain America. But it's definitely, right now, I'm leaning towards Thor going in.
Now, I've got a few notes that I took here, sorted notes. Okay, so at the beginning of the movie, I wrote down that Thor is a little wiener.
Okay.
Because he's whining and, but I want to be king and I want to go kill these frost giants now. Like, oh man, just calm down, guy. Let's see. Oh, the whole killing that monster by like flying into its mouth and like out the back of its throat, that won me over. That's like, Thor, you can be my lightning god. Let's see. Puente Antiguo, the name of the town.
Uh-huh.
In Spanish, that means ancient bridge. And so after they had the bridge thing, and then like it showed the sign again, I'm like, oh, I see what they're doing here.
Yeah, pretty on the nose there, hey?
Yeah. Let's see. Okay. And a couple of the shots, the camera shots, they were at some like weird angles, like angle to the right or angle to the left, and they seem to do that a lot. I'm not sure why.
What do you mean? Like, give me an example.
Okay.
I'm not sure if I can remember anything.
I can't remember where they were walking, but like the camera would be tilted like maybe 30 or 40 degrees to the left or to the right, and so the horizon would be tilted that way too, or skewed.
Oh yeah, okay, I see what you're saying. Yeah, I do remember specifically there's a shot near the end of the movie where Thor and Jane kiss, and but their faces are totally like horizontal with the screen, and so the horizon is like totally, just because Thor, like Chris Hemsworth, is such a huge guy that's the only way they can make the shot not look like garbage.
But but they did that a lot in other scenes too.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. What's her face? The comic relief girl?
Darcy.
Oh. He kind of got on my nerves. I mean, making that Facebook joke and then calling Mjolnir Meow Meow. It's like, oh, please, you're trying too hard. It's like they tried to... If you've ever watched National Treasure, I believe Riley is the name of the character that's comic relief. He's, you know, kind of geeky.
I haven't seen that, actually.
Oh, that's a good movie. There's a comic relief guy there, and he pulls it off. She tends to be on the annoying side. She's, I think, comic relief done wrong. Let's see. Oh, and probably one of my favorite parts was when Thor walked into the pet shop demanding a horse or a dog or a cat that he could ride.
Yeah, there's a lot of really good humor like that in there where it's just like, you know, just really great witty humor. And he pulls it off so well, too, you know, like he's just like deadpan, so good at it that he's great.
Yep.
I'm really looking forward to him in Avengers, especially, you know, it's interesting because from what I've seen going into the Avengers, and this isn't a spoiler because I haven't seen the movie and I have no idea, but what I'm expecting is something a little bit where they're going to keep exploring this relationship between Thor and Loki, right? They're going to keep looking at it, and it'll be really interesting to see that. And kind of what it seems like is that there's going to be a part in the movie where S.H.I.E.L.D. and the Avengers are kind of saying, we need to go and kick the crap out of Loki and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And Thor
internal
gets kind
conflict,
of
yeah.
almost like brotherly defensive sort of thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be pretty good to witness that and see all that come out. So
I'd like to see Thor and Loki on an episode of Mari or something like that, where they can iron out their differences and whatnot. So next week's movie on the road to the Avengers is Captain America. So look for it on Amazon or iTunes or Netflix, probably by DVD. Also, a quick note, if it's not available online easily like Thor was, it didn't have any renting options that I could find. It was buy it for $14. You can stop by one of those Redbox DVD vending machines and pick it up for like $1.30 a day.
Hey, dang, that's awesome.
Yep. So if not online, go to the Redbox.
I'm surprised that they didn't have the... That they didn't have it for rental. That's weird.
Yeah. Amazon said, pardon our licensing agreements, but we can't do that.
That's too bad.
Video Game Geek.
I'm sorry, Zach. I should say sorry to your friends and family, because I don't think they'll be seeing much of you after you're done with finals, because you'll be spending much of your time playing WoW, maybe?
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I've said before, I signed up for the WoW annual pass a while ago. I don't know if I ever actually said that. Maybe it was all pre and post show or something. But I did a while ago sign up for that WoW annual pass, and part of that was that that you get a beta access for the new expansion for World of Warcraft that's coming out, Mists of Pandaria. And so I finally got mine. I got my beta invite on the last wave of invites.
Nice.
So now officially everybody who got all of their everybody who was promised an invite now has their invite, and I was like part of the last bit. But anyways, I've been playing it. It's pretty good, actually. You know, it's funny because for a while now I've grown a little bit tired of WoW.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically, like, you know, I've got two characters that are max level. I've kind of been playing a third one, you know, just kind of leveling a little bit, but it's feeling a little bit... Say that again.
Killing the boars.
Yeah, you know, killing the boars or whatever, right? And but this, I rolled a panda, you know, a Pandaren monk, and I'm just sitting there, and I'm kind of going through the starting area, and it just feels it feels fresh again. It feels really fun, and just the panda in general is just a really fun class to play. the panda is like a good race, and the monk is a really fun class, and the music in it is really good, and the design of it is fantastic. It is, from my initial impressions of it, I'm really excited for this expansion to come out. So yeah, and not only that, but freak, Diablo 3 comes out in what, 3 weeks?
Indeed it does.
So that is, I've been playing some of that beta as well. I think the open beta is now closed. Last weekend they had a whole big open beta where anybody could go download and play the game for a while, but I think that's closed now. But I was playing some of that too with a buddy, and that's going to be the multiplayer on that's actually really fun, online multiplayer. So
now, one question about Pandaria: how much of it feeling fresh would you attribute to just being in the new area?
I would say there is quite a bit to that. You know, like it's very. I would say a big part of it though is that it's so bright and vibrant. You know, just the mm-hmm. colors that they're using and the design and all that sort of thing, and just kind of the culture, the Chinese culture that's coming through in the game,
mm-hmm.
Because it's, you know, Pandaria, and that's kind of the whole motif this time around. That is really, really lively and fun. You know, like, I mean, you go back and look at Wrath of the Lich King, which was, you know, up in the north and it was cold, and, you know, then Cataclysm with big dragons, but lots of desolation and that sort of thing. And yeah. Now you come to Pandaria and it's a little bit more upbeat. It's a little bit more majestic. I wouldn't say that it's, you know, like some people say, oh, it's Kung Fu Panda and it's for the, you know, the kiddies and whatnot. I don't think that at all. They just think they're looking at a little bit more of a, I wouldn't even necessarily call it lighthearted, because it's still got a very contemplating sort of feel to it, you know, kind of like the sort of monks where it's a little bit deeper and that sort of thing too. So philosophical, I guess. So
well, I ask because one of the things I enjoyed the most about playing MMOs, particularly Final Fantasy XI, was exploring, because, you know, just walking around and seeing the different landscapes or whatever. Like, I guess, again, I mentioned earlier in the show about how I like adventures and vast landscapes in games, yeah. and movies as well, and just being able to walk around and, you know, discover and explore new things is
that's always been a huge part of WoW, I think, and this is no different. In fact, I think that the new continent that they're, I haven't even hardly touched the level 85 content. I'm only mostly been playing like the introductory stage for the new pandas, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's got a huge amount of exploring that you can do, and it's great. I'm really excited about it.
Cool.
Movie Geek.
Well, I have some bad news. Well, potentially bad news. The Hobbit, this comes from uprocks.com. The Hobbit debuted some footage in 48 frames per second, and a lot of people did not like what they saw.
Wait, what?
Yeah, at the CinemaCon, Warner Brothers debuted some footage, 10 whole minutes of The Hobbit. Now, keep in mind, it wasn't color-corrected, and the visual effects work wasn't completely done, or I'm not sure how much visual effects work was done, but a lot of movie and film pundits were at the convention, and on Twitter, from Twitter feedback, it generally wasn't positive. Let me quote a few of these. It says, saw the 10 minutes of raw The Hobbit footage in 48 frames per second, 3D, intriguing. The footage looks amazing, but the 48 FPS experience is an odd change. And other people say, oh no, not a fan of 48 frames per second. Oh no, no, no. Listening to CinemaCon people, theater owners, this 48 FPS demo sold nobody. Frankly, it did not look cinematic. And that seems to be the common thread through all of these things, is that it looks very realistic. It looks like you're standing right there. As someone else said, the fact is that 48 FPS 3D is the most startlingly, quote, real 3D I've ever seen in my life. The downside for older types is that it's too real. In a word, 48 FPS 3D looks like high-def video. It doesn't look cinematic, lacking that filtered or gauzy look we're all accustomed to.
Oh, weird. Yeah. So it's almost like we've become, I've actually heard this before. Like a lot of times, especially if you're converting frame rates and things like that, if you don't get the frame rate exactly right, I think it's like 29 point something is the normal TV frame rate, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong. Maybe it's 24, like they were saying here. Mm-hmm. But if you even do 30 frames per second, it can actually look worse in some cases.
Yeah.
If you've lived your entire life looking at a screen at a certain frame rate, and if it suddenly is dramatically higher than that, then it really can screw it up. It's interesting though, because it's almost like it just isn't as enjoyable. It becomes more mundane because it's more like real life. That's interesting.
In fact, someone likened it to watching a soap opera, where you know you can tell that it's like someone standing on a stage, and that's what I've always, you know, compared like home videos to. It's like, oh man, mine's just doesn't, like, the colors are off, it just doesn't look right. There's something off. Yeah, sure, I'm recording in 1080p, and that movie that's on the screen is also in 1080p, but something about the color correction, it just doesn't look fluid. And my problem with this, I think it could very well look fantastic and amazing and emphasize the clarity as Peter Jackson thinks it will, but I'm just afraid that it'll look like a stage performance. And when I think of movies, you know, I think of that, you know, filtered or gauzy look, that cinematic feel that these folks keep mentioning. And to not see that on there, I don't know. That's it's got me a bit worried.
Yeah, it's interesting because I actually just this is totally just circumstantial, but I recently, just today, was watching the original. I think it came out in 1933. The original Wizard of Oz. I don't know why I was watching it. Just ended up watching it for some reason. And it's funny in that movie because you kind of think, well, what was this originally presented in, right? You know, because a lot of times, if you've actually, I don't know if you've ever watched it or recently, but there's so many times in that movie where, wow, you can see the clear line where that the set has become an actual painting. And, you know, like, well, you can see this and this on the costume and, you know, this and that, just because it's over the years as our display technology has gotten better and better, you can, and they're going back and restoring some of the old film and whatnot. It's becoming a lot more obvious what the flaws are and some of the shortcuts that they took. And so as our display stuff is getting better, we're not going to be able to do that anymore.
And that's what worries me, because I would, it's like in video games, if you can't pull off realistic looking graphics very well, go stylized. So I worry that we'll be able to, it won't look like it'll look more realistic with the actors and stuff, that the sets and the visual effects won't look realistic. Just give me something that's themed, you know, an artistic take on something that I can not pick apart, like the whole Uncanny Valley thing. Just go
exactly
stylistic.
And it's and, you know, another similar sort of thing that I'm thinking of is I recently pulled out the old N64 and started playing a couple of games, and very quickly realized, holy crap, what am I doing playing this game? It's terrible. You know what I mean? Like, at the time it was amazing, but then I'm sure if I were to take that N64 and plug it into the old 20-inch tube TV that I was playing it on before, it would still it'd be decent. But playing it on a 42-inch LCD TV is just like, whoa, what's going on here?
And although there's a lot of hate towards the 10 minutes of the Raw Hobbit film, someone at Rebecca Murray of About.com says, it's literally like being on the set next to the actors as they're performing. Once audiences get to see The Hobbit screened at the 48 frames per second rate when it's released in theaters on December 14th, which can't come soon enough, 2012, I can guarantee moviegoers are going to demand all films be presented at 48 frames per second. I guess it's a sit and wait issue with that.
Yeah, and I mean, again, from what it seems like, the only problem, just to clarify, the only problems that people have with this is the fact that it was in 48 frames per second and people were jarred by that. The actual film itself, the 10 minutes of footage, they seem pretty excited by.
Yeah.
Right.
I would think so.
So it's not that I saw that earlier. I can't see it now. Saw 10 minutes, right? Saw 10 minutes of Hobbit in 48 frames per second. Very exciting, but now I'm very unsure about higher frame rates. That's what Peter Serretta from Slash Film said. So he liked the footage. He just didn't like the 48 frames per second. Just to clarify, so people aren't freaking out that the Hobbit movies are going to suck. Don't worry. They're going to be good. It's just they're breaking new ground for technology is all.
Yeah. Speaking of different and segues that are terrible, Anchorman 2. we've got some extra news about what it's going to deal with from a director, Adam McKay. He told Empire in an interview, quote, "It's right when all the news started changing with the 24 hours news cycle in 78 or 79. McKay explains, all of a sudden local news stations diversified and had Latino anchors and African American anchors, and anytime you're talking with you're talking about diversity and the action news team, that's always fun to deal with. So I don't think it's going to be all that exciting.
It's funny because it totally is, you know, the whole 24-hour news thing is totally, it's rife with, you know, it's full of just cliches and things that are ready to be pointed and laughed at. You know what I mean? And so I think that just that sort of it has a lot of opportunity. Not so much the gender sort of things that, really, the first one was all about gender conflict and the glass ceiling and all that sort of stuff. Mm. But I think the second one will be interesting, especially,
again,
you know, just this whole thing. It'll be good.
I think it's important to remember, and I guess I forgot this myself, that the funny parts weren't really about, you know, Corningstone, the female anchor. It was about all the crazy stuff that happened around it. And
exactly, yeah. And it was kind of like, it was more about the fact that Ron Burgundy was like,
oh my gosh,
this is ridiculous. And then he'd go totally off the wall because of his intolerance and things like that. So I think it's going to be good.
All right, so moving on to TV news. Apparently Axe Cop, if you haven't heard of it, is an online comic written by a five-year-old and his older brother, who's an adult, illustrates it. He's a comic book guy or a comic book artist, and it's been a pretty big hit, and actually being published by Dark Horse Comics too, in paper form, and now it's going to come to Fox as a TV series.
Yeah, this is actually just breaking today, this news. And back in the day of A to Z, I actually talked to the guy who was Ethan was his name. Ethan Nicole. Say that again?
Nicole.
Yes, Ethan Nicole. That's right. And Skype is crapping it up today.
thanks, Microsoft.
Thanks, Microsoft. You ruined it again.
it's always been terrible.
Exactly. But anyways, essentially what it's going to be is it's going to be on Fox, and it's going to receive a 6-episode season of 15-minute cartoons to air in early 2013. So this is really interesting. Now, when they say a 6-episode season of 15-minute cartoons, where do they put 15-minute cartoons on Fox?
They have like this late night block of cartoons called Animation Domination HD. And apparently, one of the folks over at Fox says this is more of a pilot, and they think Axe Cop has a future in terms of a cartoon. So take this more of a pilot, and if it does well, then maybe you'll see it along Family Guy. Who knows?
Oh, can you imagine? That would be incredible. I hope that they have a. You know, what would be great is if they had almost like a the same. They need to have the sort of What am I thinking? Like the Princess Bride almost, where the on the in the Princess Bride, you know, they have like the whole storytelling thing throughout. It would be great if they had that sort of a situation with the little brother story slowly transition into the Axe Cop sort of show. I think that would be genius if they were to institute that.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. You can expect it in early 2013, so we've got a while to wait before it bursts onto the scene. But Axe Cop is good stuff. So if you haven't read the comic, you should mosey on over.
Exactly. AxeCop.com. So, very cool.
Gadget Geek.
While surfing the interwebs, I stumbled upon USBtypewriter.com. Luxury keyboards for PC, Mac, and iPad. So, this is also is pretty much an Etsy-based project as well. And the essentially, you take typewriters, and you can plug them into your iPad or your computer and use them as keyboards via a USB plug. However, it's pretty pricey. A whole solution, like the conversion kit of for the typewriter, the typewriter itself, is about $750. Oh, yeah. However,
now does that come with the typewriter?
Yeah, the $750 one does. Yeah.
Okay, I was gonna say. Oh, they sell a $75
exactly
conversion kit. Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, there's like range from $699 to $799. Now, if you already have a typewriter, you can buy the $74 conversion kit and you'll be in business. And as a tip, if you have any local Goodwills or Salvation Armies or thrift stores, you might want to check them pretty often, because so far I found two typewriters, both from the 1930s, for about $30 each. And I don't think I have the heart to gut them. I'm not sure how much gutting is involved with these, but it's a pretty good option if you don't want
to
pay.
That's pretty cool. I mean, it's very cool. Pretty cool looking, just to see this thing here. Now, what's interesting is that it's USB, right? It's a USB typewriter, which is a little bit, if you're going to be using it for a tablet, it's a little bit more iffy, I think. Just from experience, I have the camera connector kit that gives you a USB jack on your iPad, and that thing doesn't always accept everything you plug into it.
Well,
so
I think since they're marketing it for the iPad, I would think that they've made sure that whatever system that they've modded the typewriters with will work.
Hopefully. Yeah. Yeah. It says, if you want to make sure it will work with your tablet, go to usbtypewriter.com/tablets.html. So, that, you know, check that out and make sure that it's working there. It does say, okay, so it does say that it should work. Cool. All right. So I will admit that that is true. But yeah, anyway, very cool if that's your thing, for sure. It definitely looks awesome.
You know what it reminds me a lot about? Steampunk.
Yeah.
Well, I mentioned last week that I was in Richmond, Virginia for a seminar, and when I had some time free, I walked around Richmond and passed by the Edgar Allan Poe Museum. It was actually his house at one point in time, and while in there, I was browsing their collection of books and stumbled upon Steampunk Poe. It is a collection of Edgar Allan Poe stories with illustrations in the steampunk style, and it looks really, really slick. You can get it on Amazon for $12 with Prime, and you can even get it on your Kindle for $9.99. It's really cool.
Really cool, man. That's awesome.
And you know, I wasn't sure that I really didn't know that Edgar Allan Poe was associated somewhat with steampunk stuff. But
yeah, I didn't either.
Apparently, you know, he has a lot of Zeppelins and whatnot in there, and his stories are a good kind of creepy that would really fit within a kind of Victorian era, especially considering that they were written in, well, the 1800s.
Yeah, for sure. Isn't there a movie coming out based on The Raven this Maybe? Soon? I heard that. That's again, way off the rails, as usual. You've come to expect this on the Geek Improvement podcast, folks.
Indeed, here we go. It is coming out.
Oh my gosh. The April 27th, this Friday. What?
We've got good timing.
Wow. Imagine that. Yeah. Who do we have here? John Cusack is the only name that I recognize. Anyway, very cool.
When a madman begins committing horrific murders inspired by Edgar Allan Poe's works, a young Baltimore detective joins forces with Poe to stop him from making his stories a reality. Sounds a lot like Castle, like we mentioned
last
week.
Or, what's the other one? The Bone Collector? I don't know if you've seen that. That's nope. Kind of an older movie. I don't know, Seven, I guess. Anyways.
If you're interested in the Poe collection, the Steampunk Poe, it has the Mask of the Red Death, The Telltale Heart, The Fall of the House of Usher, The Murders in the Rue Morgue, The Balloon Hoax, The Spectacles, The System of Dr. Tarr and Professor Feather, and as for poems, it has The Raven, To Helen, The City in the Sea, A Dream Within a Dream, The Conqueror Worm, and The Bells.
Very cool. Sounds like they got Inception in there, eh?
Dream within a dream.
Cool.
Also, also in the steampunk genre is Rush. Their new album is going to be steampunk themed, and they've released a new single from their album called Headlong. I would read you the rest of the title. If WonderKit hadn't opened the YouTube video,
Headlong Flight. Headlong Flight.
they've got the video up online. It's not as good as I don't like it as much as the other two singles that have been released. But we finally have a release date. Their album is coming out on July. As soon as I can open the show notes.
Yeah, June 12th.
June 12th.
So that's awesome. It does sound, it has kind of this weird, I don't know what sort of a feeling to it.
I guess I'd call it the Rush sound, because really at least that song sounds a lot like a lot of other Rush songs, but it's more steampunk in terms of the lyrics and stuff.
Yeah, for sure. It's pretty cool though. Nonetheless, I enjoy it. Looking forward to checking it out on the 12th. It's like a week before my birthday, so
maybe we can interview Geddy Lee.
Hey, there you go.
It's Zach's birthday. You got to have an interview with us.
Look, man, it's my birthday.
Come on.
Sci-fi geek.
Well, this is a more of a science fiction kind of mystery / conspiracy theory topic, but I was surfing the interwebs as per usual, and actually, the dude who is going to write the novelization of the Rush album has written X-Files books. I had no idea that there were X-Files books, and as a huge X-Files fan, it looks like I now have some reading to do.
What? Yeah. I think I had heard before that they had some sort of, you know, X-Files stuff. I haven't read any of it, but 18 paperbacks, man.
Yeah, it seems, and just by that author, and it seems that they've been pretty well liked. One of them called Ruins has 4 to 5 stars on Amazon with 71 reviews, and another one called The X-Files Ground Zero has 48 customers' reviews, and it's has 4.5 out of 5 stars. So, if you're into the X-Files,
if you just search X-Files on Amazon, they have 80 Kindle editions of books. So that's pretty crazy. And I mean, some of them are like the philosophies of the X-Files, the philosophy of pop culture and stuff like that. But
by the way, that reminds me that I would really like to read a Thor book, not just a comic, but some kind of Thor adventure out in Asgard or whatever.
Like a comic, like some sort of a comic?
Well, I'd probably prefer something long form.
Okay.
So I could really dig into it and get into the universe, but Comics would be okay, probably.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything. You know, a lot of Thor, I think what you're probably going to see is, you know, is actually going to be comic book stuff just because that's what it is, right? But
yeah.
Listeners, if you know any good Thor runs, maybe something that's available on Comixology on the iPad, let us know. Actually, Alexis, if you haven't checked out Comixology.com and the Comixology app, you definitely should do that. It's amazing. It is the online comic book store.
Sure, I'll check it out. I mean, I've heard of it, but I never really used it. So,
yeah, they've got a lot of free stuff on there too, just to kind of get to whet your appetite. So,
first one's free.
Heck yeah, dude! Exactly. That's how they get you.
So I'll check that out for next week.
Web Geek.
This comes to us via Hacker News, which is news.ycombinator.com. Folks who are typically into web development and stuff usually are font geeks. You know, love of Futura or Helvetica and all different kinds of fonts. This new font is called Averia. I'm guessing because it has the accent, so I pronounce it all fancy-like. But it is designed not by a font or type designer. Some guy who was interested in typography took all of the fonts that were on his computers and layered them on top of each other using something called Image Magic. Image Magic is essentially an imaging library written in PHP. Mm-hmm. And after layering all these fonts on top of each other, he kind of figured out, okay, this is a good area where they like overlap for the most part. And that is the font. He bills it as the average font. It looks pretty interesting, and it's available for download in all kinds of formats.
Yeah, it's cool. It's like a mix between serif and sans serif font. You know, kind of got like a little bit of a serif to it, but it's kind of like a rounded serif on all the lettering and stuff like that.
Yeah, and if you were to look at it like really quickly, it's like, huh, this was written by a typewriter. But then you look close, and it's like, no, wait, this is really different.
Actually a font. Yeah. And it's really nice to read too. That's the thing. Like just reading it, it's pretty pleasing to the eye.
Yeah. I'm surprised by that actually.
Yeah. Actually, I can't remember where I learned this, but apparently, I don't know if you knew this, but serif fonts, this is totally random. I don't know why I'm bringing it up. Serif fonts are a lot more commonly used in print. They're easier to read in print, and you may notice this
in
actually
sans
after
serif
you see
online,
this.
Yeah,
sans serif is online. I think it was a new media class. I heard that, but anyway.
But
kind of cool. It's easier to remember stuff. So,
I guess that wraps it up for this week. It might have been a quick show. I'm not sure how long we ran on time, but we were debating.
This week and next week, just because of finals, everybody. Kind of, you know, we're still trying to get stuff out to you, but we're also a little swamped. So the shows may be a little bit shorter than we have previously been able to get out, but we're still dedicated to getting stuff out to you. So,
amen. So we'll be broadcasting again next Tuesday, hopefully, if all goes well.
Yeah, that's the night before I leave out for Vegas. So,
so maybe hopefully. Not next Tuesday.
we'll give it our best shot anyway.
But in the meantime, you can reach out to us by sending us an email at podcast@geekimprovement.com or giving us a ring on the Geek Improvement Hotline, which is 65 Ring Geek. That's 657-464-4335. If you have anything geeky that you've done, geeky things that you've seen, some geeky object that you absolutely must have, like that IKEA stand/TV thing. That's
IKEA.
Absolutely.
I love that you went straight to IKEA.
We got to mention that next week on the podcast. It's a like a TV like entertainment center with a TV built into it, and it's pretty.
Oh, that's right.
I think it's called.
I totally forgot about that. I'm interested. I haven't seen any reviews on it, but it'll be interesting. I'm interested to see what people say about it.
And if you're pining for the Upleva, please feel free to harass us on Twitter as well, at Geek Improvement. Where can they find you on Twitter, Zach?
You can go to Zach Erickson, that's capital ZACERICKSON, and ZachErickson.com is my blog.
You can find me at Alexis Santos on the Twitter, and my blog is probably never updated.
Isn't your blog just your Twitter? Isn't that your website?
I would say so. I've got, what is it? AggressivelyDigital.com, and I've made one post, a total of one post.
Ah, yes.
So, yeah.
Right on. Well, awesome. It's been a blast, dude.
It has, and I really, really, really want to beat something upside the head with Thor's hammer.
Yeah, dude, and you know what? Next week, you'll be wanting to do it with Captain America's shield, so... I kind of am tempted to go and buy one of those cheesy masks for the opening weekend.
Or one of the plastic Captain America shields.
Exactly.
Anyway. Right on. Thanks for podcasting with me, Zach, and thanks for listening, listeners, and we'll catch you next week on the Geek Improvement Podcast.
See ya.
See ya. So,
I think we're good to go, my dear sir, there.
Oops. Misfire.
Oh, crap. You better patch that before it gets all up in your grill.